I'm Sylvie Avery and welcome to Spirits Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, with our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss lots of topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In a most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world, when my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit guide called Gregory Hay, who has access to great knowledge and wisdom. And on the show, we discuss your questions that you may have emailed in previously to us at enq at spirit-teaching.com. This is something that you can do, and I will put the questions to spirit guide Gregory on your behalf. It's not a reading style situation, but it's metaphysical questions about, it's not just metaphysical, but it's things to do with what you would think that the spirit world could actually help with. And it's not just etheric situations. Obviously, they are well informed and up to date with what's happening on the earth plane and how they can help us with our situations here. So it is about you. It's about all of us. We all can learn from each other. And it's a chance to initiate some new thought within your mind. So if you would like to join us with a question in that way, or you can phone, the number is a free phone, actually today on the program. It's toll free and it's in USA, it's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's 001-530-876-3222. But that's not toll-free, but it's really only a quick call. So we look forward to, or you might want to just sit and listen to what we say. I do tend to try to cover things as much as I can, but like I say, if you've got something on your mind, then do give us a ring.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mick Avery. Welcome to BBS Radio. .com on Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, which is of course 1 p.m. EST, that's 6 p.m. GMT, UK Standard Time. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, our book CDs, or book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go to one of our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com, www.spiritsworkradio.com, and now in the UK and Europe, www.mickavery.com. Now, what we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into the deep trance state, Gregory Hay, who is the main spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my physical body for the whole of the show. I won't know about anything else that happens during this time because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else. Please do have a good look at our websites for a better understanding of how we work, because we haven't got too much time to go through too much information at the beginning of each show, because it would really take up too much time. And also, I generally tend to get the eebie-jeebies in my chaos in my mind comes along purely and simply because they start taking me off and I start losing my words and getting them mixed up, and all sorts of odd things happen. So I'm waffling now, aren't I?
Yes. So thank you, Mick.
Oh, thank you very much so for Mick's allowing me to waffle.
So Mick's going to go off now. I did explain to everybody last week, and actually Gregory came through and explained as well.
My waffle.
What happens when and why you get like this before he takes you off. So
right.
If you want to know more about that, and actually Gregory talks about the process of how he takes Mick off. So explains that if you want to look at the archive of last week's show. So anyway, I'll just tell you a little bit about Gregory, who had an Earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world. And now he comes to share his wisdom with us for our benefit. The White Cloud Group, whom he represents, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They're made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information helps us to understand the mechanics of the universe and, well, basically brings us situations without religious bias or political persuasion, but from a bit different perspective, believing in everyone's own right to their own views and beliefs. So it's something for everybody. And like I say, like Mick said, if you would like a one-to-one reading with Gregory, a telephone reading, we do Akashic readings, telephone readings, that you can find out about on our website, www.spirit-teaching.com. So, last week, I know we were discussing rescue circles that we were going to talk about this week, but usually Gregory comes through to talk about sort of a thought for the day, as it were, and starts us off with something that's been they've been thinking about in the spirit world. It's usually an observation with what we're doing here. And but anyway, we'll see what he has to say when he comes through now, which way he wants to begin the program. So, hello, Gregory.
Hello, friend. With love and light, blessings as ever for your journeys. Yes.
Good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yes, like I say, I know we were going to talk about rescue groups, and we still can talk about rescue groups. It was in to do with conjunction with people doing silly things and trying to contact the ether world through with dangerous, basically, mechanisms, the ghost box that's around now, and different EVP in the wrong hands, and other sort of things, Ouija boards and everything. But basically you were saying that if you wanted to talk and actually help people, that it needs to be done in a organized fashion. Would you like to talk about that now?
Yes, we can do that.
Since I started the preamble.
Yes, absolutely,
anyway.
As you did begin the preamble to it.
Yes.
Quite so.
Yeah. Because basically you were saying that, you know, communicating with these people through haunted house hunts or whatever, or graveyard hunting and all of these different things that actually are really not only dangerous, they are slightly irresponsible in the way that they could help the spirits that they communicate with, because they need help a lot of the time, not all of the time. So
yes, and also...
And it's not this. It's not necessarily these sorts of people that actually need help anyway, that hang around these places.
No,
there's ways of doing it.
Yes, quite so. The point is really that with that aspect of it, that oftentimes simply what human beings in the physical sense are doing is that they are putting themselves at risk, in a sense, maybe inadvertently, because of their energy acts as a trigger for others to then hang on to, in a sense. And oftentimes we have had to deal with situations where people have done that kind of thing, and that they've ended up bringing back problems to their own homes, their own space, if you like. And that in itself then can create other problems of hotness or activity in respect of them, various different situations happening to them, of which are pretty unpleasant, really, I have to say.
Yeah, so basically we decided to talk about if you wanted to do that sort of thing, because, yes, it is very fascinating, but to do it in organised groups.
Yes, yes.
In a secure environment, protect with plenty of protection and that sort of thing, that you can help other people.
Yes, quite so.
Spirit people.
Yes, absolutely. In actual fact, it does not mean to say that a person who runs such a group, now you may well automatically think, well, that obviously has to be a person who's a medium who would run such a group as that. Purely and simply because of the facet of it bridging the two worlds. And I understand that people's perception of this. However, I have to say that usually it is essential for there to be one or two or more people present who are gifted mediumistically. That doesn't mean to say that they've necessarily completely fully realized their gifts of spirit. It may well be that they're still in the making, as it were. They're still in development. But it doesn't mean to say that the whole situation is then barred from them. Obviously, everyone has to start somewhere. As long as they are in a form of leadership role of others who are well-founded. Now, the point I have to make here, the reason why I'm hesitating about it being that a medium specifically would always take charge of the group is actually not the case. It needs to be someone who has a good communicable skill, particular ways with words, particularly being able to think on their feet, as it were, in different situations presented to them. At the drop of a hat, the touch of a button, they have to be able to come up with the whole schematic of what they have to go through in order to help someone to a specific place or through a specific idea of consciousness in order to resolve their crises or their situation. So, for example, if it is that you have a condition, I'm jumping the gun a little bit and rushing ahead here, purely and simply just to explain this role play that I'm trying to describe here in this environment. Now, you might have, for example, five or six people who sit in the group, and one person has been elected to lead, to be the group leader or the group spokesperson, liaison between one side and the other. You might then have one or two mediums practicing, mediums, who are actually, therefore, bringing about other forms of rescue contact, other forms of perhaps they're clairvoyant, clairsentient, or perhaps all clairaudient, or all three. Maybe they are, through their sensing, being able to divine a great many things. It might be that a person within the group itself is gifted in respect of being a form of the alternate speaker or someone who is inspired by the close proximity of an invited energy to come close to them and to reveal parts of their situation or learning or yearnings. Now, this kind of group is usually first of all developed as a kind of a healing group, a situation as it is sent out to the universe in order to heal situations or disparative situations wherever they are upon the planet. And it would be really most intentional, I think, and proving for the group if they began the whole sequence in that way, so as to be consciously aware of their united energies, so that all the beings present begin to learn from the offset of how the group forms and is functioning as a cohesive force. You need to build up a group that meets regularly on a regular basis of at least once a week. And that this then should be a situation which is funded in a great deal of the way, which is of a way of spiritual, deeply spiritual nature. It's not all fun and games. This is a serious matter that you're going to enter into. So it needs to be leveled from the greatest perspective to begin with. And that would be that the function would be, as I say, to do with healing first and foremost. That's going to be the delivery, the method of how the ethos is created within the group. Next, you're going to gain the cohesive force of it, the harmonic of it, balancing the energies from one being to another to make sure the adherence and the right sort of cohesion in the group is made up of the right kind of energy. There should be no ego involved here whatsoever. It needs to be left outside the door in the same respect as all matters of function of spirit group, whether it's to do with healing or whether it's to do with this kind of energy release or this kind of working with energy that might be quite desperate. And it needs to be a very cohesive force so that there's a very sure ground that is gained here by the experience of those who come to visit with you. As I say, come to visit with you, this is, in a sense, the way that you would be inviting, perhaps, to matters of the world, to matters of certain places or certain understandings released by those places of what functions took place there. Perhaps something to do with the history of a place. So it might be that the group of you actually don't stay in one particular place, but you go out and visit other places. That's a possibility too. But don't count too many chickens before too many eggs are laid, and that in point of fact, dear friend, what you really need to do is to set up a home circle environment, first of all, to gain the cohesive and harmonic existence that I've already pointed out that needs to be present within the group. Ego's left behind the door upon your entry, and the way in which the situation is run then needs to be not fragmented or argumentative, but something which is releasing, supportive, and that is a very loving energy. So the next point that I have to make is that when I hesitated about the person who leads the group or the person who acts as a spokesperson, not necessarily will it be that all mediums will have a gift with words. And in point of fact, many mediums I am aware of have a good habit of putting both feet in it rather than understanding the very delicate balances needed in order to use words in the right way. So it needs to be a very giving, loving experience, but also someone, as I say, who really does think on their feet, who connects not just with the person, with the being, depending, of course, upon the manner in which you are inviting these beings in. If it's going to be something that simply comes through a clairvoyant or as clairvoyant, and then meaning that it's interpretation from the mind of that medium, this is possibly can potentially be quite difficult, purely and simply because it's going to be through the interpretation and whether that medium is willing to allow the mind to become completely free with it, or whether the interpretation then becomes colluded by the mind of the medium. It is oftentimes the best result to be obtained will be given by someone who is willing to give of themselves at the moment to allow perhaps their physical body or situation to be used in a way or manner of perhaps actually speaking the thoughts of the spirit involved in that situation. This might not be someone who is used to sitting in this kind of situation, but is actually something that simply develops within the group and becomes a part of the group in that group work presented for and on behalf of those spirit interactives, but also is something that the person may not even know about and exists within themselves. So it can be quite an exciting time in the form of developmental reasons and in the form of ways of procedure and ongoing situations that are described. So it may well be then, dear friend, that you might have this person gifted with the gab that is able to then front the whole situation, to be able to put forward the right kind of questioning. Questioning needs to be delicate, gentle, not demanding, and not thinking in the ways that you would in the organic sense. So that means to say that if a person or an energy comes forward or is presented in some way to the group, you wouldn't automatically send that being to the light. It's going to do absolutely nothing for them whatsoever and just really bring about a complete relapse of the energy and sink it, basically, to a very low degree. That it will also mean as well that the group or the person are not really inclined to understand exactly what needs to be gone on within the group at all. Now, part of what you would have to do, in actual fact, would be to inquire name, to inquire health, how, why, what occasion, how did you pass, why did you pass, was it self-inflicted, can you remember anything at all about the energy of what went on? When you are presented with certain situations, as can often be described, it might be someone who passed by their own hand, or someone who passed by someone else's hand. These are often traumatic events. Maybe someone who didn't want to be there, who still doesn't want to be there, maybe even after 50 years or 100 years or 200 years. Who's to say? You cannot put any time on it, cannot put a lid on it. Needs to be an expression. So as energies are felt, it would be a situation which is symptomatic of the kind of development that you would wish to be placed through yourself. If you were given in that situation, what would you do? So oftentimes we see that the right way of practice is actually to shepherd the being within their own memory. So we're talking, of course, about a spirit interactive here. And what you would do, of course, the group would begin always with an invocation. The group would always begin within the invocation of stating exactly why you are sitting, the reasons for the event, the reasons for bringing the two worlds together. When you have a situation detail as though you are trying to investigate someone in the spirit world who's made contact with you, it should really be about not just how they passed or why they passed, but what their problem is. That's a delicate matter as well, and it might take a few goes for them to interact with you. They may not know, seem to know fully who they are, although oftentimes they will. It's not to say that everyone's like this, but oftentimes beings who are beset with great negativity in the spirit world have difficulty in remembering certain aspects of their life journey from the physical state.
If they haven't really progressed beyond that because of they don't want to leave the Earth vibration for some reason, whatever that is.
Yes, or are drawn back to it for whatever reason.
Mm. Right.
So the situation needs to be that you are very gentle in respect of how you phrase things, how you phrase questions and that kind of thing. Try not to be too demanding straight away. That isn't going to help anyone. And as I say, never, ever just send them to the light. Never, ever say, oh, well, you're the wrong kind of energy to be here or whatever. These are so dismissive situations of answer, and certainly never, ever wave a Bible at one or pronounce certain litigations out of such a book as that.
Mm. Yes, because it can literally be just ordinary people. It's not, you know...
It's not a religious situation.
And to keep the vibration nice and harmonic. So let's start at the beginning part again and fill in a few lines.
Yes, yes.
As it were.
Yes, yes.
So basically, how many people would you say in a group to do this?
I would suggest, my dear friend, it can be anything between 4 or 5 to as many as 8, but really doesn't want to be any more than that, because it would be too difficult to maintain the link, to maintain the situation of that you would have a certain number of people who are giving healing to the moment, who are giving of their energy to the moment, and helping in respect of their energy to then hold and befriend the being, the spirit entity who may be revealing themselves.
And, you know, I think we're noticing...
consistency as well.
We're noticing big differences here between doing this, you see, because and actually going to, say, a graveyard or a haunted place to actually find encounters with spirit, apart from the respect. And obviously this is more of a mission job, a spiritual giving situation.
Yes.
But the thing is, we know that how your energy attracts other energies, so that's the other thing. So the energy that you're building up in your development prior to actually asking for this encounter, this interaction with these people that might need help, is key to it all, because it's a healing situation. Everybody's working on their vibration, aren't they? So you say starting a healing group. What do you mean by that? That it starts off as a healing group. People get together once a week, and what do they do?
Well, they may well be, when they're getting together once a week, they would actually start by creating the right harmonic between each other. So that means in a meditative state or circle that would be run in order to send healing or experience different ways of bringing about healing to one another or to a central character. It may be one of the group, for example.
And or a place, begin... or a disaster, or a
something. Yes, absolutely.
Basically, so a meditation where you attune all of your energies, gain some harmony with the group, with each other.
Yes, and it wouldn't be just one thing. It would be perhaps a number of things that you might, for example, that you would have also an open list of people that, as people come into the group, that they an evening or whenever the meeting is, that they write down perhaps names of loved ones or acquaintances that who are going through some difficulty within their life experience. Perhaps they need healing for some kind of physical emerging health problem or something like that. It might be something simply that they are having a difficult time at work or some other such thing.
The healing list.
Yes. So begin a healing list as a part of it. And then you will be able to function then in that way. Bring that in towards the end of the session, each committed session together, that you would then use that as a way of revealing the energy that you've collected up during the session. The session might last perhaps an hour and a half or something like that, or maybe just an hour. It depends entirely. Usually most sessions last not much more than an hour.
Yes. So then you build up the energy with these healing thoughts in this meditation, and then you give it out at the end, basically.
Yes.
So because obviously what's happening behind the scenes here, is, which is why you say about having commitment and keeping to a time, etc., is obviously for commitment's sake. And for the spirit team, obviously there has to be a spirit team formed in guides, etc., to actually work with these people in this way. So you have to be serious about it, because it's respectful, because it's working both ways. You have to have your guides working together.
Yes, that's right. And that's the point, really. There will also be others who are assigned to the group by others within the spirit world, in a sense. It's not going to be that the most active or proactive medium within the group will be the one whose guys are going to boss everyone around or something like that. You need to leave ego out the window, out the door, and don't bring it into the room that's going to be used. You see, it needs to be something that's completely giving. Those beings present will be notified as to who and how the situation is becoming evolved, and that there will be different energies. It might well be that, for example, even just the sitting place of
one person or a number of people within the group will have to be changed simply because their energies aren't balanced where they are sitting at present. They might, for example, sit next to their best friend, but actually it would be better for their best friend to sit on the opposite side of the room to them, purely and simply to balance out the energy.
Mm. And if it's male and female in the group, then male, female, next to each other.
Yes, usually. And yes, absolutely. And usually, if you have a partner's husband and wife, or women and women, or whatever, however that works out, I'm not interested in the gender specific, but usually to do with that kind of situation, you need to have those two people sitting apart from one another, unless they're the ones who are actually running the group.
Yes, but like you say, you know, it's not always the person that thinks that they're the most experienced, etc., that just orders everybody else about and takes control.
That can
be a problem with ego, because
yes.
It's all to do with sensitivities, and sometimes can come to a sticky end. So that's the thing, you know, the group might change as you go along. If the harmony isn't happening because of one person or whatever, then you have to sort of change it, basically.
Yes.
Don't you? In the nicest possible way.
In the nicest possible way, you have to change it.
Yeah, and maybe get somebody else, or don't get anybody else to fill the place.
The space, yes. Mm. Yes, quite so.
Because ego can be very damaging.
It can, yes. Creating jealousy paths, all kinds of miscreant activities.
Yes, yeah. Okay, so... So how long should they do this healing situation? I suppose how long is a piece of string there,
yes,
isn't
you
it?
Can't really be that type specific. It's really going to be a matter of how the development proceeds. If it becomes very harmonic very quickly, then that's all right. You still need to do it for probably about 6 weeks or so, just to bring the cohesive attitude toward everyone, so that everyone really knows what they're doing and are really contributing to the event fully.
Mm. So the guides, the group, the spirit team that will be working in this rescue group, they will actually bring the beings to the group. It won't be just, it's not like
it won't be someone else's guide who will always bring them. Yes.
Yes, but it's not a random situation. Don't you know what I'm saying? I want to make sure that we're clear about this to everybody, that you're not sitting in this circle like a seance. Is anybody there or anything like that? It's not like that. It's an organized situation that you're working with as a team in the physical as well as the spirit world with your guide. So basically, spirit team will bring somebody who is having problems, basically, who needs some help, sometimes only help from the physical is going to allow them to move on. It's a bit like a counselling situation, really, isn't it?
In very many respects, yes, friend, little bird.
And usually it starts off very light.
Yes, quite so.
It's not a heavy duty thing. You know, having said this, it's absolutely nothing like the rush and the buzz that you get, or these people get from these being scared to death on these trips. It's not like that. All we're saying is, if you are interested, this is something in doing something like that, communicating with the other side to actually make some good out of it, rather than that. But I do realise that a lot of that is just for entertainment. So,
yes,
we have to tell you and give you the option of doing it the other way around in a safe way.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and it's not to say that eventually in this kind of group that you cannot then go to places like this en masse as a group.
Mm.
You see, you can still do that, but that you have to actually become a cohesive force first.
Mm.
You have to learn about the energy. You have to learn about the things to say, the respects that you give to the situation. So that it's not about being scared witless in a graveyard, it's actually that you're there to help. And you wouldn't necessarily go at night either. It would be something that should be approachable at any time of the day.
Mm. Yes, and I mean, if somebody is in a haunted house, and has been there for an awful long time, and people know bits and pieces about this person, this spirit person, then,
yes,
you know, it might be a good idea to see if they actually need some help.
Yes, quite so. Absolutely so,
you
yes.
So it's the intention, basically, isn't it? It's respect, it's the intention, it's the vibration and harmony that you are obviously building here.
Yes.
Working on your energy individually and as a group, basically.
Yes, yes, quite so. And as I say, it has nothing whatsoever to do with anything of religion. As soon as you bring a form of religion into that, you are going to raise the hackles, and the energy level can actually become quite chaotic in many respects.
Mm.
Can become quite fractured. You are not necessarily going to just be dealing with one being either. We have known situations where there have been whole armies, platoons of people, or battalions of people from various kinds of situations of war-torn situations of great depravity who have been released in this way.
Mm.
So it may be that you don't just have one person passing through your seance room in order to bring this relief. It may be a whole, perhaps 100 people or 1,000 people, you see?
Mm. Yeah, well, I think we call it a healing room.
Yes, well, yes, quite so. Yes.
Yeah, yes. So, okay, so they've got together. Their harmony is attuning nicely together as a group. And like you say, it's down to the invocation. Always start with a prayer of protection and stating why you're doing it.
Yes, yes.
As well as closing afterwards, obviously. So how do they go on to then inviting their guides to instigate the situation where they might be able to help people that need it?
Well, it's really a matter of how the situation develops, as, of course, as I say, who is going to become the driving force of this doesn't necessarily mean to say that that has to be the medium. But obviously, as I say, it's someone who is going to be gifted in being able to speak. And I would suggest, however, that other people within the group are also given the opportunity to try communicating as well, that is, asking questions and that kind of thing.
So basically they've been meditating, and then somebody might say, I've got somebody with me here, and they're trying to communicate.
Yes,
then what
right.
does everybody else then center their energy on this person?
Yes, that's right, to see what they can pick up too.
So that you send your love then to that person
to
try and help the communication process a little better. Now, I think everybody might see now why ego cannot be a part of this as well, and how...
That's right.
Honesty, total honesty of what you think is trying to be communicated, and that sort of thing. You know,
has to be present.
Absolutely honest. You know,
yes.
I think they're trying to say this, not blah blah blah, because I'm the best medium here, and I mean, that just won't work.
Yes, and certainly don't ever break out into any arguments. Nothing like that, of that nature, you see.
Okay, so
you'll start throwing things at one another or something like that, yes.
So everybody directs their energy to this person who's got this somebody trying to communicate, and then just the person carries on trying to communicate, but with the love and from the other people that are sitting there.
Yes, well, that will depend, won't it, as to whether others need to come and bring other forms of assistance to that person who is trying to perhaps bring this energy through or understand more about this energy. For example, it may be that someone in the group feels that they may ask if they can come up and perhaps stand behind that person in order to give them further energy or something like that in a closer proximity by perhaps placing their hands on their shoulders or just briefly touching them with one hand or something like that, just to help in that respect. But oftentimes much of it can be done in the people's own sitting positions just by sending the energy to them.
Mm.
You see?
Yeah. So then...
So you don't all have to get up and rush to the other person's aid straight away or anything like that. It's actually very gentle and has to be very considered.
So then the person tries to basically interpret what they're picking up from whoever it is. And they might feel actually quite emotional, tearful, and that sort of thing, and actually pick up on the emotions. This is something that's going to have to be, well, with experience, you know, it's not something that you're going to have to freak out about straight away, you know, oh gosh,
no,
you know.
Quite
so. So go with it, everybody sends love, and if it gets too much, you know, say, oh, you know, you stand back a little bit because I'm picking up your emotions too much. But basically it's the interpretation of why they're there.
Yes, oftentimes the person who is doing the communicating with the energy or entity will have some background knowledge or understanding in psychoanalysis or psychology.
Yes.
Have a basis in that, or certainly a vested interest in those kinds of semantics of the mind, if you like.
Yes. Yes, I think that's the other thing that everybody's got to agree with, who is going to, because it's not...
Yes.
It's not necessarily the person who... The medium who has the spirit trying to communicate with them isn't necessarily the right person to ask the questions.
Oh, no,
it's got to be somebody else.
Yes, that's right.
Asking the questions, and then that medium sits there passive, picking up what comes back.
That's right,
basically.
Absolutely so. That's the necessity.
And then relaying to the group what they're saying or whatever.
Yes.
Or they might be showing them a picture of how they died.
Yes, yes.
And then, so basically you go through... finding out the spirit's name, how they passed.
How they passed, why they passed.
Why they passed, when they passed.
What they circumstances.
And basically what they can remember, their name and that sort of thing, to try and get some sort of communication, conversation going.
And oftentimes as well, it's very good to gain some kind of a description of what they are seeing, what they're experiencing themselves as well, at the present time. Are they aware perhaps of all of the beings, the sitters within the room, or are they only aware of just two or three of them? We'll give understanding to those perhaps who have a little more knowledge that of the kind of energy that is being relayed, and also so for benefits of the group as well, as to how their energy is being perceived, so that they can augment it, so that they can change the energy, so that as to help the entity in a different way. Perhaps it may well be that the entity actually says that they feel confused or whatever, or that they have experiences of a certain kind of temperature change or something like that, whereby it may well be that energy then from the sitters can actually alter that vibration energy for the entity themselves, and that will bring them closer still, you see.
Sending them love, and
yes,
whereas
quite
they
so.
Might have been very fearful.
Yes, quite so.
Yes, so...
And remember, dear friends, that oftentimes situations in this event are to do with mind entrapments and consciousness entrapments brought through from their physical journey. So when I say that, I mean to say they will be based upon activities that they created when in their physical life, or activities created to them by others in their physical life, that has actually entrapped them, or that has actually perhaps caused them still to be in difficulty and not, in a sense, in a place where they should be. Oftentimes these are regurgitated memories, not for the sake of it, but because there are real urgencies to do with this. It will oftentimes mean that there will need to be a real sense of understanding, so that... For example, if you have a condition where when it is finalized, the reason for a person taking their life, or the reason for a person actually being there after they were involved in a road traffic accident or something like that, that actually was really because of situations or systems that happened, or events that happened in their childhood, that these are actually valid points. They're exactly the same as if mother or father, sister, brother, uncle or whatever would have entrapped them in a wardrobe or something like that, with no light and no food and no water.
would have been just as frightening for any child as for an adult to be slung into or forced into such a position that they had no control over. It's one of the things that happens oftentimes to people who are in grave circumstances, people who have been taken by terrorists or some other active tribal rival group or something like that, are very much oftentimes in fear of themselves so traumatically that it actually stays with them for a long time after their passing. I'm not going to say that that's a blanket term that's reached for everyone, but just sometimes that can be the case if they're perhaps, maybe it is that their passing wasn't something that was actually recorded in physical history, or that maybe for some reason the situation of their mother, father, sister, brother, relatives are no longer present in the physical world, and therefore there was no one to actually help them or that understood from the physical side's point of view of what they went through, you see. Yeah. No witnesses and that kind of thing, you see.
But like you say, it's usually because of something else that was traumatic in their life prior to...
Yes.
To them dying, because I don't want people to think, you know...
No. That's why I was really being careful about it.
Yeah.
Yes, quite so.
So, I mean, these are, aren't common situations, but they are situations that are there. And if somebody's saying, help me, on some EVP recording somewhere, then, we think, anyway, that there should be groups that actually can help.
Yes, the worst thing...
In a safe way.
Absolutely. The worst thing that you can do is laugh about it or think that you're so clever picking it up.
Mm, okay, let's carry on with this because I want to
get
it rounded up in
nailed,
my show.
Nailed down,
absolutely,
yes.
That would be great.
Yes, quite so.
So, okay. So, this spirit comes through and we try to communicate.
Yes.
Find out all about it. What is the problem?
Yes.
And basically talk about... them getting them to triggering their consciousness, their mind back into
memories.
To communicate in memories
through memories which are still alive within their conscious state from their physical life. That's the important thing for you to realize. Memories retained. And that means for them to think back through their memory condition of times when they were loved. What then? If it was a child who was adopted, who felt, in fact, that they were never loved, you really have a problem there. So the situation has to be resolved by helping them to understand that actually oftentimes people are given up in those circumstances because they are loved and because perhaps the parent or parents were not in a position to fund their life-giving experience, that they didn't want to see them passed before they were born, but that they actually decided that because they couldn't cope physically or mentally with the addition of another life, that they thought it was best to give them up to someone else who could give them that sanctuary and loving qualities, you see?
Yeah, so like I said, it is like a counselling situation.
Yes.
But, okay, so then, but you would find they might have had a pet that they loved.
Absolutely.
Basically, to jog the person's memory into remembering what love feels like.
And
did they ever have a pet? Or did,
yes.
Or what did they like to do?
If it was a pet snail, you see.
Did they like to go on walks? What made their heart sing at some point, even if they were terribly unhappy a lot of the time?
Yes.
Or what did they wish they could have been? So it's really just jogging them, getting the cogs working and stimulating a different energy about them, isn't it?
Yes, no matter how much the traumatic life, there has to be somewhere, some glimmer, some window of opportunity. There is no one upon the planet's surface whose life is chaos and danger and fear from the moment of their conscious awakening.
Mm. Okay, so then basically it could be as well another idea is also if they didn't have any family that they could Because basically we try to say, have you got any family? Who do you love? Who do you wish was here?
Yes.
Isn't it? That sort of situation, to try and get them to remember somebody that they really liked, somebody they felt comfortable with.
Yes, so, even if it was a friend or acquaintance that they met in a bar somewhere. It doesn't really matter. That it's not the situation, it's the incident that is the perfect response.
Mm. Because what happens when you do this is, obviously, it is jogging their memory into reaching out like that. But also, what happens behind the scenes then in the spirit world, those situations? Because very often these people turn up to take them, don't they?
Yes, quite so. Well, basically, as I say, this is oftentimes the way in which beings in physical matter, you see, are far closer to those in the spirit world in this kind of frame of mind and in this state of reasoning than they are in the ether world dynamic in the real sense. So it means that because their vibrations are still quite close together, that they will be able to interact in this way.
Mm. So thinking about somebody that they loved, because thought is a living thing, this connects, doesn't it?
Yes, that's right.
It's because they've got stuck in their thought that they haven't been able, and they and then it's one thought leads to another, as we all know, and then you can see how this is working.
Yes, so, and that in itself, the thought is sent out then by this person to the universe, and the thought is actually responded to, usually very quickly. It's not always, but usually.
Mm. Yes. So explaining how thought works in that way and how love works is actually making the spirit being understand how they can actually still have some semblance of control.
Yes, in a sense, it's one of the cardinal points really to make. Yes.
So this situation of explaining how they can do that, and how if they think of something really hard, then this is the possibility that might happen. Do you ever say anything like, well, can you see anyone? What do you see?
Yes.
It's all probing questions.
Yes, absolutely. How do you feel? Do you feel anything? Have you any sensation? Do you understand up and down? Do you understand side to side?
Mm.
It's really to do with how they're relating to where they are at that present time, that gives the sitters then understanding of actually what's taking place, not only for the being spatially and their spatial awareness where they are at present, but actually also dynamically, how they're going to then interact with other beings, gives the sitters and those working in the spirit world alongside them understanding of how they're going to react to situations and events as they are brought forward. The point is that sometimes it may well be that person is simply helped away from the event if it becomes too traumatic for them, or if it becomes that the link is broken in some other way.
Mm.
So don't forget that.
Yes, and it might not be resolved in the one session.
No, quite not.
If you sit once a week, then it might take a few weeks. This person will be brought back week after week.
Yes,
or
until
attracted
it's resolved.
Back. Yes, until it's resolved.
Yes,
because we've only got a few more minutes left.
Yes.
So basically, the situation is then that normally happens is that somebody comes to collect this person.
Yes, if it's a resolution,
if it's
something that's successful, you will have the person that they thought of, the being that was the love attraction or the attraction of memory that created the link that enabled them to that being to come and help them back once again on their journey.
Mm.
And then, therefore, the matter may be resolved. As I say briefly, that sometimes it may be more than one being. It may be several. It may be 100.
Mm.
And it only takes the link with one person and their relatives, or one person and their childhood memories, one person and their love or relationship memory, that enables them to reconnect with that journey, that enables them and all of their compadres
to leave the situation.
Mm, yes, yes. I mean, if they had an unhappy childhood, then you would get them to think of any time in their life, another time in their life that that they were happy briefly.
Yes, yes.
So I hope everybody's got the idea and the gist of how this works.
Yes.
From this, basically, it's all about the mind getting that working again, and how giving them the confidence to realise that they can still use their consciousness.
Yes.
And experience the love coming from the group helps those on the other side in the spirit team to take them where they should be.
Yes.
Basically.
You see, if I may just say
very quickly
that if you don't do all of these things and you just come together as four people, egos knocking against one another, and you go to some haunted house and one person has a habit of screaming at the slightest situation and another perhaps is a complete skeptic or whatever, all of these interests and energies are completely wrong for this kind of situation. Mm. So all you're going to get are sporadic, haphazard and fractional energies, which are going to take place and are going to be dystoic, chaotic, and sometimes downright miserable and negative and dangerous.
Mm. Mm.
And that's the reason why, you see.
Well, hopefully
I just thought I would mention that.
People can see that this is a beautiful thing to be able to do.
Absolutely positive and beautiful, yes. Mm.
Okay, well, thank you, Gregory.
Thank you so, with love and light, blessings as ever, dear friends, little bird and all other little birds who may be listening. Thank you so.
Okay.
God bless.
God bless. We hope you've enjoyed the show. Our website is www.spirit-teaching.com. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work on the wonderful bbsradio.com. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.